Good job, guys. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm glad they sing better than they look, but good job. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And we'll look forward to seeing what God has for us this evening. And I've already mentioned to you, keeping the theme started last week, not really intending for this to be a series, which is a pretty good sign that we're going to get into a little series on a healthy church. And we want to be a healthy church, and we want to please Him. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, there's a lot of opinions on what a church is supposed to be. And it's amazing how we don't consult the founder of the church to find out what his opinion of what a church is supposed to be. And we need to always make sure that we're tied to, grounded to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look at me, verse number 12. We're going to read several verses tonight to give a context, but let's start with verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And by the way, let me back up just for a moment, and just this is a good reminder that there's not multiple kinds of churches. There's just one scriptural church, because there's one Spirit. And so there's not more than, it said, well, I heard a different spirit. That's a seducing spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I read that in the tone that I hear sometimes as a pastor. Well, if I can't do this, then what good am I? I can't be a part if I can't be the foot. Or I can't be the hand. Verse number 16, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Every one of us ought to underline that verse. Well, why am I not? As it hath pleased Him. Every person is part of the church. God put you in there. He gave you the abilities. He brought you from the background. He has you serving in your capacity because it pleases Him. It doesn't say we please ourselves. It says we please Him. So if God has you as the usher, that's where God wants you. It pleases Him. He chose me for whatever reason to be the pastor of this church. Me fulfilling that responsibility pleases Him. But so does the usher, the nursery worker, every other capacity. It pleases Him just as much. We need to be careful with that. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. I don't have a lot of time to talk about this tonight, but the much more which seem to be feeble are necessary. They're important. They sure take a lot of work. Well, Paul reminds us they're necessary. They're important. They need help. They need support. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Tonight I've entitled this, When the Body Works Together. When the Body Works Together. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to You once again, thankful for the fellowship we've already experienced, thankful for the singing, the music, the joy of just gathering together. Father, may this study help us. May as we look into Your Word, may it strengthen us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at an accurate picture of the church. See, a healthy church is one where every member understands their place, values others, and functions together in unity. If it's a perfectly healthy church, it doesn't mean we have perfect people, but we fit that category. We understand our role. We understand the value of everyone. This is why if you have children in the nursery, you may not like the way every nursery worker might handle your child, but there's value in them keeping your child. There's value in everything we do. Well, they don't do this, so therefore, no. We all value each other. That's a healthy church. See, God did not describe His church as a business. This is not a business. He didn't describe it as a building. Again, I'll reference our building. People make fun of our building. I'm thankful to have it. But this is where we meet. But this is not the church. He didn't describe it as a club. Well, that would put a lot of so-called churches out of business today, wouldn't it? Or just an organization, although we're supposed to be organized. He described it as a body, living, connected, dependent, and coordinated. You think about the body, the illustrations, the foot, the hand, the ears, the eyes. It helps if they all work together. It helps that when your brain tells your foot to pick itself up and move, that it doesn't go the wrong way. That helps. It helps when it's all working together, just like it helps when the church is all functioning together, working together. A body can have great parts, but if the parts don't work together, it becomes disabled. A church can have talent, resources, numbers, but if members are divided, jealous, inactive, or disconnected, it becomes spiritually disabled. Healthy churches function like a healthy body. I've witnessed it. I've seen it. Thankfully, we don't have this issue here. Hopefully, we'll never have it. Is if I can't be the eye, then I'm not doing anything. Now, they don't say the eye, but what they say is if I can't sing this part, or if I can't serve in this capacity, or if pastor doesn't use me this way, then I'm just not going to do anything. Oh, that sure helps the body, doesn't it? I'm being sarcastic there. It doesn't help the body. Let's look at the outline tonight. I've got five statements I want to make about the body working together. Number one, a healthy church understands its unity. For at verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, we are many, but we are one." Paul reminded the Corinthian church that unity is not uniformity. Don't mistake that. We are not all supposed to be the same. No matter how much better it would be if you all thought like me, it's good that you don't all think like me. You know, we're not all supposed to think alike. We're not all supposed to act alike. We all have idiosyncrasies. This is where, well, they bother me. Well, maybe so. This is where grace comes in. This is where mercy comes in. This is where we help each other out. We're supposed to be unity, meaning we, even not uniformity, you know, the hands and the feet are not the same. You know, your eyes and ears, they don't look the same. The reason is why, but it's all working together. There's unity there, but it's not uniformity. Just because somebody in the body doesn't look like you, act like you, talk like you, doesn't mean they're not important to the body. I mean, we even find a place for those from the north to serve. Jesus died for all. We need to be reminded of that. See, the body is not a collection of identical parts, but diverse parts connected by one spirit. Here's the truth. The church is not held together by preferences. By the way, everybody in here has a preference. You know what it is? It's just a preference. Doesn't mean it's a bad preference. Doesn't mean it's a wrong preference. But we're not held together by preferences. I have some preferences. I would prefer your children wash their hands after eating chocolate before hugging the pastor. But I'm not going to resign if they don't. It's not held together by preferences. Well, I just have some preferences. And this is where Christians, we hurt the cause of Christ, whether in a church or among churches, among Bible believers, we put our preferences above. I'm the pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'm the overseer. But I do not lead with my preferences. I lead with truth. Because that's what is important. If y'all want to do it the hard way, do it by your preferences. If you want to do it the easy way, do it by my preferences. But it's not gospel. It's not held together by preference. That's why when you come to a new church, there's a different spirit. They take on the personality of the pastor a lot of times. And it's like, well, that's not the way we did it. Now, if it's not doctrinal, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. Now, we have to abide by this book, by the Word of God. But, you know, it's like, I can't believe the order of service was always this. And pastor changed it. We're going liberal. No, that's a preference. How about the other churches and they only preach for 20 minutes? That's heresy. We're not held together by preference. We all understand that? We're not held together by personalities. And we have to be careful that we don't try and use our personality to push our preferences. There's multiple warnings in Scripture. I won't have time to get to those tonight. But we're not held together by personalities. We're not even held together by programs. Pastor, I don't see the importance of this, and I see the importance of this. And well, if we're doing it, I think it's important. But it's not what holds us together. And by the way, let me say, if we have a program and you can be a part of it, you ought to be a part of it. You ought to support it. You ought to help it. But while it's not held together by all of that, those things are... And by the way, God, you can use our preferences. He can use our personalities. He can use programs, but that is not what defines us. We are held together by the Spirit of God. If we just had the Bible and His Spirit and we could assemble together out in the middle of a field without a program, without our preferences, and we could just have church, we'd be okay. Because we're held together by His Spirit. See, if the Holy Spirit united us at salvation, no matter what your background, how different it is, no matter what your ability, or no matter what you can gift or you can't gift, or what your spiritual gift or what is not, nothing should divide us. Did you catch that? Well, I grew up differently. You can fit in God's church. And if it's not about our personality, then everybody can fit. Well, they're different than me. That's good. Have you seen you? And then we want to criticize the world because they won't come to church because they're different than us. We don't let them be comfortable in church. There are people who are going to come to church this Sunday who've never been here before, or they've only been once or twice, and they're going to look different. They're going to act different. They're going to talk different. They're going to have a different background, a different denomination, whatever. So what are we going to do with them? Hopefully love them, befriend them. If they're not saved, hopefully they'll get saved and be born into that Spirit. How many of you are saved tonight? You're on your way to heaven. Do you realize there's nobody here more saved than you? Pastor, I've been saved for 40 years. You're still not more saved than somebody who got saved yesterday. Because when you got saved, you got the blood of Christ, you got all the Spirit, you got all the benefits, you got You got all the forgiveness. You're not more saved than anybody else, but we act that way, don't we? Well, I sing that hymn this way. Oh, bless you. What does that matter? Well, we bring all those things into play when if it's about our salvation, it's a wonderful thing that the Spirit of God can overcome our backgrounds. It can overcome our upbringings. It can overcome our idiosyncrasies. And by the way, if you're here and you think everybody here is weird, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but it might be you. And if you're saying, man, one out of six family members could be a serial killer, and I know the other five are okay, you know. We'll say, I have more gifts than somebody else to give. God's given me a spiritual gift. Well, why are you using that to divide? And by the way, if you don't use what God's given you, you're hurting the body of Christ. It's all about the Spirit of God. What keeps us, and I use the illustration always, and I'm going to get a little ahead of myself, is we people say from different backgrounds, different countries, different not just different races, different cultures, different all kinds of different things. And we have different perspectives. But you know what makes this work? Is this one Spirit. Everybody who has a testimony of salvation, you have the same Spirit of God that indwells in you as everybody else. And it's the same Spirit that bears witness. So a healthy church understands its unity. When we see somebody that walks in the door that's different than us, if they're a child of God, they're part of us. They are one of us. And this would help us so much as Christians and as believers. Well, they don't do some things. That, well, you don't have to go live with them. But you can serve with them. You can sit by them in church. You can share a hymn book with them. You can pass the offering plate to them. You can pray for them. You can pray with them. Number two, a healthy church recognizes every member is needed. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. As the pastor, I'm one member. But there's many. We're all part of the body. Now, there's two unhealthy mindsets I want to address with this point. The fact that a healthy church recognizes every member is needed. The first mindset, we can look at verse 15 and 16. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The first unhealthy mindset in the church is the mindset of the church doesn't need me. There's a lot I could say about that. It's a whiny mindset. It's a feel sorry for yourself mindset. It's a prideful mindset. I've had people use that as an excuse to, and I'll say this, leave the will of God to even go in full-time ministry. Well, the church doesn't need me. You have A, B, and C. Just because we have A, B, and C, what does it have to do with you being in the will of God? And I want to say, you're not doing anything here. That's the problem. You're not contributing to the body. But that's an unhealthy mindset. Everybody okay? And truthfully, there are some members that feel insignificant. There might be somebody in the building tonight, you feel insignificant. And truth of the matter is, just what I said a moment ago, no matter who they are, where they come from, they may not look like you, act like you, they may not have your background, but if they're saved, they belong in God's family. But you, on the maybe on the flip side of that, you may look around and say, I don't look like them. I don't act like them. I don't have their background. You know, I'm trying to fit in, and I don't think I fit. I'm not significant. The church doesn't need me. Maybe you say, well, I can't sing. Well, that doesn't stop others from singing. I can never teach a class. Or I'm just one person. I don't do what others do. I didn't grow up here. I don't know the inside jokes and the inside culture. I just don't belong. The church doesn't need me. That's like the foot saying, I'm not of the body. Let me just say it like this. Feeling unnecessary does not make you unnecessary. And by the way, who's telling you you're unnecessary in the church? Do you really think it's the Spirit of God telling you that? Do we really think it's the Spirit of God impressing upon you that the church Christ founded and shed His blood for, you're unnecessary in it? It's not the Spirit of God telling you that. Now, there's a whole other practical application of how to help yourself in that situation. We don't have time for all that. But a church, let me just say this, a church becomes unhealthy when members check out. We have members who I'm still trying to track down. Oh, but I know Pastor. I'm like, where are you? We got all those other people there. You don't know. It would be better if everybody was here. It'd be better if everybody was holding a hymn book singing praises to Jesus. The more people, isn't that better? Wouldn't it be better if we had more people bearing witness with the Word of God as it's preached? Absolutely. So when members check out, the church is becoming unhealthier. If you withdraw, maybe this will have some give pause to their ad or cancel their pity party. I just don't matter. Let's fight that mentality and resist what comes with that, because you're underestimating your value. Let me just help you. Is Jesus' blood less precious because it was applied to your account? Oh, it's very precious because it's applied to the pastors, because he's the pastor. It's not quite as precious when it's applied to this person because they're not as important. I would say the blood of Christ is precious when it's applied to every account. And the church is for all believers. It's one of those things that we have to, that mindset is the church doesn't need me. That's the first unhealthy mindset. The second one is this. The first one is the church doesn't need me. The second unhealthy mindset is I don't need the church. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. See, this is the opposite problem. Well, there's some who they're in, they're attending, they may even be serving, but they don't feel like they are, the church needs them. And by the way, just let me reemphasize that. We need everybody praying that can pray. We need every light to shine. But then there's that other side, I don't need the church. This is the opposite problem. Some members think, I've got my own ministry. I don't need the church in its ministries. Well, they say, I'm strong enough, I'm spiritual enough. That's for weak Christians. And to that I say, okay, I'm one of them. I need God's institution. I need God's people. I need God's prayers. Maybe one day I'll be as spiritual as those with that mindset. But truth of the matter is, they know it, I know it, we all know it. That's not a spiritual mindset. Or they might say, well, I don't need accountability. That's man. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. The church is man's institution. There's literally scripture that says Jesus founded the church on himself. It's in the Bible. But it's that mindset, well, I don't need that. You might need that accountability. You know, we do need that accountability. Every one of us need that. If you're not in Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher asking you, where were you? And Sunday school teachers, don't be afraid to ask. Because we need that. When they say, I don't need accountability, it's like, I don't need a pastor. You need shepherding. Well, that's what God thinks. If God didn't think you needed a shepherd, a believer didn't need a shepherd, didn't need a pastor, he wouldn't have created the office. He created the office. And by the way, it's one of the great tragedies of Christians as they go through life without a pastor. A pastor to pray for them and help them and guide them and preach to them. I mean, I'm always open if you need counseling, you know, all those things, but truth of the matter is, I don't have to do a lot of counseling. Because if you'll attend the services, you'll get the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and apply it to your situation. That doesn't mean you might never say, Pastor, can I just bounce something off of you? I'm here for that. But spiritually speaking, God handles that. We do need the church. To our young people, let me say, don't ever get to the mindset that, well, I don't need the church. My mom and dad might need it, but I don't need it. I'm not trying to be unkind, but those are the words of a fool. And there's only one way that ends for the fool. Every Christian needs the church. By the way, if every church got back to being a New Testament church, not run by some board or convention, if every pastor fulfilled the office of the pastor as the Scripture designed it and preached the Word of God, and then if every Christian would attend church like they should attend church, we would not have a crisis in our country. We would not have the problems we have. We wouldn't be debating whether or not abortion is murder. We wouldn't be debating over gender. We wouldn't be debating over transgenders in sports. There'd be none of that. The church would solve it all if people just got back to the Bible. And let me just say, there's people watching this by live stream every single week. They wish they had a Bible-believing church to go to. We're not in a foreign country, we're in America. And there's churches, there's places that have no church to attend. But there's that mindset, I don't need the church. A healthy church attacks both lies, whether you have the inferiority complex or the independence complex. Nobody is inferior that they don't belong in the church, and nobody is so superior that they're independent of the church. Number three, a healthy church honors one another. Verse 22 and 23, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. See, in the world, ability earns some attention. Strength earns some honor. And then position earns some value. But in the body of Christ, it's about our position that earns our value. It's who we are in Christ. We're part of His body. But then Paul reminds us that there are members who appear weaker and the words are more necessary. And the church is to help them. And by the way, that's why the Sunday school revolution works. That's when a church grows, because we're reaching people, because we realize there's some people who need some of my help and attention. And just to follow up on the announcement about the addictions ministry, if weaker Christians or people who are ensnared, entangled, had somebody who would give them some more attention, sacrifice some of their own time to sit by them in Sunday school, to sit by them in Bible study, to sit by them in a meeting like that. And I'm doing a lot of writing on this and teaching on this anyway, but the church has gotten very, very good as if we have an unhealthy member, we want to get rid of it. Instead of nursing it back to health, instead of trying to salvage it, if we treated our bodies like we treat fellow Christians, every time you stub your toe, you cut it off. Every time you get a hangnail, you cut it off. Every time you fail and you got a scrape and a bruise and a scab, you'd amputate. We got to be in a cast 6 weeks. Let's get rid of it. You say, Pastor, that's silly. It is silly, but often there are some that are in our church that are more necessary. And by the way, Christian, if you're not one of those who are more necessary today, you will be. And you'll be glad that you got a church that prays for you, that cares for you, provides a meal for you, takes a little time for you, is patient with you. You'll be there. See, we don't just celebrate talent. We celebrate faithfulness. By the way, you young couples and on down, don't look at some of these older church members and be like, oh, they just get in the way. That's only during the fellowships. They move too slow. You wouldn't have a church if it wasn't for them. It's the same thing. You see an old man in a wheelchair with a veteran's hat on. Don't just look at him as an old man in a broken old man in a wheelchair. He used to be tall, erect, and strong. Storming the beaches and in the jungles of foreign countries. We just cast them aside. Oh, but we have a tendency to do that in our churches. So a healthy church honors one another. Even God says they're necessary. They take a little. By the way, new Christians need more help. Sometimes we forget what it was like when we got saved. Take out your hymn book. What in the world is a hymn book? Okay, here's a song. Whoa. The words are all broken up in these different little paragraph things. I don't know how to read that. The chorus is, everybody else knows the chorus. Why don't I know the chorus? When it's like, do I stand up now? Do I sit down now? You give them, hand them an offering plate full of money. They're like, oh, thank God, I've been praying. No, that's not the way that works. You put it in, not take out. Sunday night, you come back on Sunday night. Sometimes we just assume they won't come back. They don't know to come back. What's this baptism thing? What's the pastor announced about doing some ladies thing? What's, they don't automatically know. And they come and they don't know all the Baptist lingo. I find it refreshing. Not that the Baptist lingo is bad. But here's somebody new. Here's some new life. Here's somebody who's just been born into the family. They're trying to grow. They're trying to learn. Well, I don't always know what to say. You do realize that, like the babies in the nursery, they're not having coherent conversations with you. Well, I can understand them. Well, what does that say about you? But nobody criticizes a two-year-old because he's not saying the right things. But a babe in Christ, they don't know all the lingo. Well, when they act like they've been saved for 20 years, when they've been saved for 20 days, then I'll give them the time of day. Oh, that's so foolish. They're necessary. A healthy church honors one another. Number four, a healthy church feels for one another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Not my problem, Pastor. Well, according to Scripture, it is. I'm glad that's not my family member. According to Scripture, it is. You're supposed to feel it. Because we're of one body, and when one part of us hurts, we should all feel it. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so is grieving. We should bear that burden the best we can. We should, well, I got to pray for them. It's like, I'm glad that's not mine. You should feel it. See, a body is connected. If the one part hurts, the whole body feels it. By the way, that's why you ought to handle your hurts right, so that it doesn't become an infection, it becomes something that hurts the body. But by the way, if one part of our body falls, I'm not casting it out. We feel it when one part hurts. See, Paul says a healthy church suffers together, rejoices together, walks together, grows together. See, you have a dilemma. You have a pastor who has a desire to grow himself. And if I have a desire to grow in my spiritual walk with the Lord, in my life, it's going to be a trickle-down effect. I'm going to try and pull you along with me. So we're all growing together. Well, Pastor, I just want to go to a church where I'm not challenged. Think about the kind of pastor that pastors that church. That cannot challenge his people to do more for God. That cannot challenge his people to pray more, to grow more, to learn more, to win more. Do we think about what we say sometimes? We grow together. But unhealthy churches ignore the pain. Hurting members go unnoticed. Oh, what's their problem today? Well, I hope Pastor takes care of that. But you know, you can pray for them too. You can write them a note too. Don't be the one that walks around with the salt, the pour, and the wound either. People hurt. If anybody should notice, it ought to be the people that go to church with them. We ignore the pain of Christians struggling, young people struggling, widows forgotten, new believers neglected. We ignore all of that. And I know life's busy. But can I just say you should be less sympathetic about the homeless dog you see on the TV commercials and more sympathetic about the people you go to church with. And it's amazing among God's people, sometimes a homeless shelter could raise more money than you can raise for an offering for a hurting family or a hurting missionary. Where's their faith? Oh, that kitty needs a home? I mean, Pastor, you're going after the puppies and the kitties tonight. I'm just making a point. See, how do healthy churches respond to the pain? They comfort. And by the way, comfort is not telling somebody why they're going through what they're going through. Comfort sometimes is just a pat on the shoulder. Sometimes it's just sitting down next to them and not saying anything. Sometimes it's just a look, a nod of the head. It's comforting. They pray. Healthy churches, this is how they respond to pray. By the way, they don't gossip. They pray. Well, Pastor, there's a reason why I went to Facebook and said, please pray for so-and-so that their life's falling apart, because I wanted everybody on Facebook to pray for them. No, you wanted to gossip and you wanted everybody to comment under there, oh, what's going on? I'm so glad that you have them in your life, or they have you in their life. No, you just wanted to be the center of it. I mean, am I the only one that's ever seen that? Okay. They carry burdens. We should not run from those burdens. We should run alongside of them. Help them. They lift the fallen. There are some Christians who step on the fallen. But I would say there's another group that they would never step on the fallen, but they would just step over the fallen. Because they're too busy fulfilling ministry in their life. Failing to see that if there's a fallen brother or sister of Christ, that is their ministry. A healthy church restores the broken. See, we might have the sympathy to feel for someone, but biblical compassion moves towards someone. How can I help? In other words, healthy churches don't watch members suffer alone. And by the way, when you're hurting, when you're suffering, don't push your church away. Don't run from your pastor. If you've stumbled, if you fall, the last thing you do is run from the people that will help you and love you. Say, but I don't know what people... I will not allow the scavengers. I've proven that. You'll be loved. But life brings hurts. Then number five. A healthy church works together for Christ's glory. Because of all the Scripture says that we read tonight, because of everything that's already said, we look at verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We work together for Christ's glory. See, my goal is not just to have some of us serving. My goal is for every member to be serving in some capacity. Why? Because the member feels more part of the body when they're serving, first of all. And then the body can do more when every member is doing their part. The Bible speaks of spiritual gifts. I believe this. God puts inside every church what is needed to meet the needs of that church. Pastor, you need to tone your vision down. It's bigger than our church. I disagree. I believe we have everything we need. But every member's got to give their gifts and participate and be a part. I want every member to be contributing in some way. And by the way, you just showing up is a contribution. Now, staying awake is a bonus, but you showing up is a contribution. I want every ministry cooperating with one another. And if you work in a ministry, you head a ministry, it ought to be very, very important to you. But the right arm shouldn't be trying to tie the left arm behind the back. That's not mine, and I don't care. They ought to be working with one another. By the way, if you're a member of this church, you ought to be excited about every ministry. Well, Pastor, I would. I can't keep up with them because we just keep starting them. Or just be excited about whatever we're doing. Yeah, praise the Lord, I'm for it. Every member aligned with the mission of the church. The Great Commission, reaching the world. See, a healthy church does not ask, what do I want to do? Can you imagine waking up in the morning, it's like, I can't see. Eyes, what's going on? I decided today I don't want to see. I decided I wanted to do something else. Say, Pastor, that is so silly. Yeah, that's how silly we are as Christians sometimes. We don't ask, what do I want to do? It's what has God allowing me to do as a part in this body? What can I do to make this body work more efficiently, to reach more people? I want to come to church and I want to get something, but I want my presence there to make it a better experience for everybody. I'm coming to church and I know the Spirit of God will speak to me through His Word, but I want to find somebody to encourage. I want to find somebody new I don't know and introduce myself. I want to be a blessing somehow in some way. Could you imagine if everybody did that? Instead of, what am I going to get out of it? We ask, what does Christ want me to do? A healthy church is not a group of spectators, but participants. We all want to participate. We all should participate. A healthy church is not just a Sunday assembly, but it's a seven-day force. Sunday is the Lord's Day. We meet for our midweek Bible study, but we're still the church every other day. Pastor, there's so many things on the calendar. We're the church. We say this at a once in our mouth. There's so many things on the calendar. Then it's like, well, the church isn't a building, it's a people. Yeah, that's why we put things on the calendar, because we're the church. And there's things we're supposed to do. A healthy church is not built on one man doing everything, but everyone doing something. All right, in conclusion, are y'all ready for the conclusion? Okay. Let's take a spiritual MRI as the body of Christ. If Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 12 to our church today, what would he see? Would he see unity? Or would there be a little element that says, I'm just not getting on board with that? A little element could be one person. And by the way, if God brought, I hope you became part of this church because God brought you here. And if God brought you here, He knew what would be going on here. And so He wants you to be a part of it. Would He see, in that unity, but also see the family of people who are different, working together, different backgrounds, different cultures, way you grew up together, all those different, saved out of different lives. Would He see all of that, or would He see just, well, these people we just can't have in this church, and we're all of this? No, would He see that? Would He see compassion? It's sad, we can have compassion for the world, but we can't have compassion for one another. It's something that I don't have time for that. Would He see the family serving? Would He see the body serving? Who in the body could be serving more, but they're not? I'm not asking you to do what I do. I'm the pastor. This is what I do. But there are some things that we're all supposed to do. Our church is big enough and broad enough, has enough ministries, enough people come here on Sunday. Everybody can find something they can do. Pastor, I can't do anything on Sunday, but can you come to a meeting on Tuesday night? Can you get there and make the coffee and set out the water and set the chairs so that those coming can walk right in and sit down? I mean, you don't have to have a degree to do that. See, I didn't think of that. There we go. We need to be thinking. I'm part of this body. What can I do? And this is the way we sometimes do it. We say, well, they're doing that, but I want to do that. No. They were here first. And if you can serve in the same capacity, there's nothing wrong with that. But instead, we look around and say, okay, what is something nobody's doing yet? And let me do that. Nobody's bringing me coffee on Sunday, so I mean, there's that. But are we cooperating? Are we serving? Are some parts disconnected? Are you disconnected from the church? Are you disconnected from the body? Meaning, have you distanced yourself? Are you not? Are you refusing to plug in? Are you used to be plugged in and now you're not? Are you weakening? If you're struggling, have the sense to say to the pastor, your Sunday school teacher, I'm struggling in this area. See, but we have to be okay. People have to be able to trust us with their weakness. Now, I am on a campaign for us to take the stigmatism off of weak Christians or off of hurting Christians. Somebody who's fallen, but yet they're back up, stop calling them a fallen Christian. That's a stigmatism that we're going to answer for. We don't do that with King David. He's the fallen king. You know, David, the fallen king. But we only do that with each other. Take this. If you're struggling with some sort of addiction, you're not going to be cast into outer darkness. I want to help you. That was for free. Are some parts overworking because others are underworking? When I was younger, I was a lot more active than I am now, and I have a bad left knee. I can remember when I was in college playing sports, I did something to it, and it just swelled up. I mean, I could hardly walk, crutches. Went to the doctor, needed to have surgery, and I was like, yeah, whatever, and, you know. But I just got to deal with it. Before long, my hips started hurting. What in the world's going on? Some of you are shaking your head because I don't know if it's because your hips are hurting right now or because you know why it was hurting. Well, I was compensating because my knee was hurt. And instead of doing what needed to be done for my knee, I was like, I'll just lean more on my strong side. And before long, the strong side was saying, get back over there. It's wearing me down. How many churches has that happened in? Because we compensate instead of helping where we can help. Are there fractures, infections, or strained relationships? Is Christ the head? Well, I think we've had some things to help us tonight. Oh, don't you want a healthy church? Well, then we have to be healthy. Then we have to make sure that we are helping the way we, not just spiritually healthy, that's important. We need to make sure that we're active in the church as we can be active in the church, as we can do what we need to do. One thing I've told my staff and I've told our Sunday school teachers is I want as our church grows, and it is growing, a pastor, no matter who the man is, only has so much capacity to give himself to the members and have those conversations and spend that time. There's not enough time and energy. But I want everybody to feel like they're pastored. Everybody to have somebody. That spiritual mentor, that spiritual care doesn't replace the pastor, but that representation, if you will, they have somebody. So they're not so far removed that I can't get to the pastor. No, you can get to him. And there's somebody who needs the pastor wants to know about it, but he needs help. So what are we doing? Are we finding something that we can do? Let's be healthy. The healthier we are, the more we can do for Christ. The faster we can run, the longer we can go, the higher we can climb. And so let's apply these things tonight. Father, help us as we consider these truths. May they